This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What would you say if I told you there's a book that can teach you how to win The Bachelor?
What would you say if I told you producers caught multiple finalists reading that book in this season that's currently airing?
What would you say if I told you the producers don't want anyone to know that their show has been compromised?
How do we know all this? We wrote that book.
I'm Lizzie Pace.
And I'm Chad Colchin.
We're the authors of How to Win the Bachelor and the hosts of the Game of Roses podcast, a bi-weekly podcast where we break down all the biggest plays, errors, and MVPs in the game of reality television.
Listen to Game of Roses wherever you get your podcasts and go to howtowinthebachelor.com to get our book.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile, the podcast where we walk home from the movies. And today we're seeing a movie theme park ride extravaganza with Dwayne the Johnson Rock.
Yeah.
And it's called Jungle Cruise. I don't know a thing about it.
I think it's one of the original rides. And I think it's a ride that's gotten in trouble in recent years for like cultural appropriation and racism and things like that. And it's been
racism and cultural appropriation at Disney.
But yeah, we're excited for this movie because it kind of seems like it's going to be fun based on the fact that it's The Rock and Emily Blunt.
I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Like Indiana Jones vibes, I guess, from the trailer I've seen.
Yeah. Oh, you saw a trailer?
Yeah.
Right, you've got one up on me. I don't know. Is it about, like, what is it? Are they... It looks like it's set in the early 20th century and they go on a cruise together.
Pretty much. I mean, basically, there's a ride called the Jungle Cruise and then they've written a movie around it, much like Pirates of the Caribbean, which turned into a hugely successful franchise, right?
Yeah.
So one would presume they're hoping for the same thing here. I mean, if you put The Rock and Emily Blunt in, so you've got The Rock, I'd say Jumanji is kind of... would have helped him be cast here, and then Emily Blunt is Mary Poppins. This is Disney being like, we really want this to work, right? They're huge stars.
Yeah, and they're good stars. Yeah, I'm turning out for them, basically.
Same.
I'm on board for Indiana Jones level hijinks.
And it's basically. Like a 12s with this kind of a style usually makes me think it's going to be a bit of fun.
Yeah, we did consider bringing Oscar to this, but then he's not 12. But if I had not, like, if this had been a PG, maybe would it does feel like I'm well up for sort of family friendly entertainment, which it feels like this is positioning.
And kind of feels a bit like in the God, I've totally forgotten what was that Jack Black adaptation. Oh, Goosebumps. It kind of feels like that kind of vibe, right?
Yeah.
Who was also in Jumanji, so looks like it. Big world eating itself. But I'm looking forward to it. So
I'm kind of excited for it as well. Okay, right. Okay, we'll check in with you guys afterwards.
So what are you doing out here?
There is a legend in the jungles of the Amazon of a tree that heals all.
It could change the world.
But if it gets into the wrong hands, it could awaken a great evil.
I believe that the legend is real.
Which it's not.
And I'm going to find it.
Which you want.
And when I do, just imagine the lives that could be saved.
I've been looking for this tree longer than anybody. I've tracked the legend to every village, every island. Nothing. You're searching for something that can't be found.
But you've never had the key.
Let's do something that's safe. Let's go see some elephants.
There are no elephants in the Amazon, and I don't even like elephants.
Lady, everybody likes elephants. Know this about the jungle. Everything that you see wants to kill you and can. Careful. They can smell fear.
I am not afraid.
Right, we're back. We've seen, what's it called? Jungle Disney's Jungle Cruise Adventure Time. Fun park theme ride.
Yeah.
So, if it's your first time on The Cinemile, we won't spoil any plot details from the movie besides what you can finding the synopsis or the trailer. But we will turn on to Spoiler Street shortly and you will be warned.
Yeah.
So we're a nice little river walk ourselves, actually.
Yeah,
it just feels like a nice thing to do after watching Jungle Cruise.
We've also just flown to the Amazon, a quarantine for 14 days, just so we could do this
review.
That's
how committed we are to doing this right.
Yeah.
So I got to say, let's firstly talk about what it's about, now that we know what it's about.
Yeah.
I really love my new life of not reading any movie news or knowing anything about movies until right when I watch them. The blissful bubble I live in now compared to... I used to hungrily consume movie media, so to the point where I just used to know everything about everything.
I mean, also, look, let's face it, as a man in your mid to late 30s, you probably weren't going to ever hungrily consume news about Jungle Cruise.
I had a Google alert set for Jungle Cruise.
It's the only thing we could review this week because there's not much else out.
Yeah. So it's about... Yeah, that's pretty much why we're
basically
here.
Basically, The Rock and Emily Blunt go to a beach and they start aging really quickly.
So quickly.
Yeah.
So this is... Yeah, it's pretty much as we expected. I will say, what I was surprised by was that there's not much cruise in this. It's a lot of jungle, not so much cruise. This is... I think in my head I was picturing, like, you know, a cruise gone wrong, you know, kind of thing. Like, but this is not... I guess it's technically a cruise. But really, this is just like... It's Indiana Jones meets Pirates of the Caribbean.
The Mummy.
Yeah, meets... Oh, The Mummy is a good reference.
Very derivative, I would say. And it's like, I was so pumped to start watching it. I was like, this is exactly what I want to watch. This is like my vibe, like tweeny, adventurous content. But like, and I don't say this lightly, it's a 2 hour long movie. I think they could have shaved 40
minutes
off this movie.
It's like 2 hour 10.
They could have shaved 40 minutes off this movie.
Yeah, it's long. It doesn't really justify its running time.
The plot gets convoluted.
There were points where turned to me and said, what's happening? Yeah. Who are they trying to... What are the goals of the characters? And I said, I've no idea.
Yeah,
the MacGuffin is
not apparent in this.
Like, if we were struggling to comprehend what everyone was trying to achieve, how is a sort of an 8 or 9 year old or a 12 year old supposed to...
And The Rock and Emily Blunt are obviously great, right? Without question, they're brilliant. I love them both and I loved their chemistry. So, you know, I really enjoyed watching them. Now, this was the movie, turned out, we didn't know this before we started watching it, but we then remembered as we were watching it, Jack Whitehall's in it playing a gay character. And then, of course, we started remembering the controversy about 2 years ago when this was announced that Jack Whitehall, who's a straight man, was going to be playing the first openly gay Disney character. And it's a really interesting conversation because you want to think, like, actors should be able to play any sexuality, etc. In reality, if this is the first time there's an openly gay character in Disney, to me, that pivotal moment, it would make sense to give that to a gay actor.
Yeah, I think they've really fumbled it.
I think they really fumbled it. And, like, I don't understand, like, if this was the 100th gay character, you know, whatever, it's not pivotal anymore. It's business as usual, and you like to think you're in a world
where... Then you pick the right actor for the right role.
Well, also, it's like, what makes the right actor for the right role is, like, if it's a pivotal moment versus if it's... Which it isn't, sadly, business as usual, where, like, gay actors struggle to get cast in straight roles. So, therefore, when straight actors get gay roles, it's like there's a natural tension there. And now there's a similar conversation happening around transgender actors. So, all that kind of quickly came back to us as we were watching this. And it's like, Jack Whitehall, right? He's totally fine and serviceable. But, like, why? What PR person was sitting in that room? What casting agent was sitting in that room for this pivotal role and thought, like... Oh, we have to have Jack Whitehall, who nobody in America knows anyway. He's barely famous in England. Like,
he's quite famous in England.
But, like, if you watch, like, A League of Their Own, do you know what I mean? It's like, I just don't understand why
he's got high profile here.
Okay, fine. But, like, I know he just travelogues with his dad or whatever, but, like, why did they do it? Like, it could have been... There's so many incredible gay actors who could have played it.
That's the thing.
It.
It's not hard to find a comedic gay actor, right? It really isn't. I mean, and I totally agree with you. I think I'm...
It's like when the prom, which Ryan Murphy cast James Corden, who, interestingly, is in A League of Their Own, or was, with Jack Whitehall.
And both of them equally... It's funny, when we saw Jack Whitehall show up here, we both had the sort of similar... feeling of, oh, a bit like James Corden. When James Corden shows up, you're just like, oh god, it's just like, because I think, and I mean no disrespect to Jack Whitehall or James Corden, I think they both work very hard and have, like, earned their success, but they are overexposed, those two.
But
right,
and
now,
it's interesting, now in fairness to Jack Whitehall, I think, I haven't seen The Prom, but I've read the criticism and I've seen the trailers. Jack Whitehall did not play this character really camp. I think he did a really good job. Apparently, what James Corden did in The Prom, people consider, like, offensive and like a 70s piss take of a gay character.
Oh,
right?
Really?
Yeah, so I'm not comparing their performances or the reaction. And in fact, I haven't even read reaction to Jack Whitehall's performance. So I'm not even speaking about the gay community because I don't know how they felt about it. But to me, it was like he was totally fine. I just feel like that was a missed opportunity. And honestly, I just don't think he added anything to the film. Like, he was not like a primary character. And it's a shame how that all went down, because I think it could have been a really amazing moment for the gay community. And instead, it just wasn't. So I think that's really disappointing on the film's part. Did I like his chemistry?
You can't try and make... It's like Disney having their cake and eating it, or trying to make a cake and then shitting in it. Right? It's like, you can't just be like... You can't, like, get all the cred for the headlines of having an openly gay character.
Well, they got no cred.
And then not cast...
That's why I said, was there no PR person in the room? Because surely they said, look, this would be a negative look for us.
How do you not realise how that's going to look?
Yeah. Anyway.
And I mean... And by the way, I agree with you. I don't think... You know, I think the argument around this topic can sometimes get misinterpreted as, oh, well, like, you know, it's acting, you know, anyone should be allowed to act. It's like, that's obvious. It's all about marginalized people
and
or underrepresented
entry,
people and barriers to entry. It's just like, you haven't opened the floodgates yet, Disney. So, you know, give an actual gay actor a chance.
Even
first.
As recent as, like... It's like Kristen Stewart, right? She's like a really young actor. She was basically told that like she needed to pretend she was straight to get roles. You're talking in the last couple
That's
of years.
Ten, like, what, 10 years ago?
Not
That's
even.
The Snow Princess Snow Diary thing?
No, it was.
What was it?
I don't know, but it wasn't that.
It was The Huntsman, Snow White.
Ellen
Huntsman,
Page,
right?
Like loads of actresses and actors have come out and said, like, Elliot Page. Loads of people have come out and said, you know, that they were discriminated against or told not to go for roles because of their sexuality or how they identify the gender. So, like, that's why it's an important conversation. It's not, like, you know, it's not to say that down the line, you know, in 20 years' time when hopefully everyone's accepted for who they are and, like, barriers have been broken and it's not the first time you have a black woman leading a movie or the first time you have a gay character. By the way, he was not a lead character. Like, he was very much the third, fourth character in the movie. So, you know, Disney, you haven't really broken anything down that much either, by the way. But anyway, all that aside, it was just too long and, like, just... I'm really disappointed because I thought I was going to like it more than I did. Do I recommend it for, like, a 12-year-old? Sure. Younger than that, I actually think it's a bit too scary.
Yes, I was going to say, I was, like, so glad we didn't bring Oscar to this. Well, I mean... It was,
I mean, he's three, right? We would have been irresponsible.
It was clear that a 12 is a 12, and it is a 12 for a reason.
No, but I think, like, my 8-year-old nephew, who's
8 or
9...
8 or 9 might be a little...
It's too scary.
There are quite intensely scary moments in here, for sure.
Like Pirates of the Caribbean-esque looking.
Well, let's talk about that, because I was surprised...
Spoiler Street.
Before we go to Spoiler Street, just to say I'm on board with you. I'm on board your cruise... This feels too long and overly complicated. However,
it looks great though.
Recommend it for a sort of easy family watch. Probably don't bring the whole wait till it's on video. Don't pay 60 quid to bring your whole family to a cinema trip, perhaps.
Well, can just watch it on Disney Plus.
Flick it on Disney Plus or wherever, and it's like the good things about it are The Rock and Dwayne Johnson and Emily Blunt are very good and charismatic and they work well together. I think I kind of agree that Jack Whitehall, I groaned when I first saw him and just felt like a very cookie cutter comic relief character, but actually I think
he's good.
He did a good job.
He's a better actor than I knew
role.
He was. Yeah.
And then also Edgar Ramirez and Jesse Plemons.
Oh my god, he's
as
brilliant.
The bad guys are wonderful,
and,
they're both chewing up the scenery, and they're having
Paul Giamatti as well.
Paul Giamatti's in here, so those three are actually having such fun because they are just chewing the scenery.
Jesse Plemons is brilliant.
Jesse Plemons is amazing.
Very good.
So I really enjoyed watching all the actors. I think some of the ideas in here are really interesting. There's one bit which just floored me in terms of I didn't see it coming.
Will we get to spoilers?
Which we'll talk about in Spoiler Street. But yeah, I'll say on a whole sort of, there's a lot of good stuff in here, but it's...
Too long.
Not a slam dunk.
No.
All right, let's go to...
It's very much a kind of middle of the road, grand, you watch it kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not really, I'm also not interested in sticking around for 4 sequels, mind you.
I'd be really
surprised. Nor was I with Pirates of the Caribbean, and I thought that was a really good movie, the first one.
Pirates of the Caribbean is more to it to me in terms of a franchise possibility because, like, we know from experience, kids are obsessed about pirates, right? Like, pirates are this whole thing. This movie is just a boat going down a river, so, like, How yeah. franchisable is that?
How do you do... What's the next one? What's yeah. the next reason to have a Jungle Cruise?
Exactly.
Okay, well, let's... full spoilers now for Jungle Cruise. You have been warned. I gotta say it right. I couldn't quite believe when I was watching this, even though it was so obvious to me, or should have been so obvious, that this was just Pirates of the Caribbean again. It's the exact template. Like, I thought, thankfully
without Johnny Depp.
When all the supernatural stuff showed up, I was like, oh, so this is just Pirates of the Caribbean. It's just, and it was like, it was the same bloody plot. It was like old, that movie is old, spoilers for that old movie, but like, that's old pirates who get cursed for trying to steal something and then become undead and wish to break their curse. That's the exact...
Oh, God, I hadn't even thought of
that. That's the exact same...
I was just thinking visually they look like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, and not only that, sorry, now that we're in spoiler street, the head pirate or conquistador have a history and a relationship with the primary character who was involved in the initial curse and managed to escape it. Which is, sorry, the exact same plot as Jack Sparrow and Francisco in this. Literally the exact one.
You remember
they were both
Pirates
there.
Of the Caribbean more
they were
than
both there for the instance of the curse and managed to avoid it.
It was a good plot. It was so funny because it was a good plot. Like, we got a surprise when The Rock turned out to
really?
Be.
Really?
Yeah.
Rarely do I get caught out by movies these days because all movies are the freaking same at this stage. But I did not see that coming. So hats off movie.
However, it did give me an issue because at the time I was saying to Dave, are they gearing The Rock and Emily Blunt up to be romantic interests? So I feel like there's a huge age gap. Googled it. It wasn't that bad, actually. It's only like a 10-year age gap. But then they made him 400 years old.
Yeah, but so that, like, only in his mind.
Yeah, but...
I know, I guess.
It's funny because I thought they had really good chemistry, right? Because they're both really good actors and they're both very funny. And like, I think I love her. But like, and I love him. But... it never felt romantic to me. And I was thinking, do you know what I'd actually have loved if the movie... and I love romantic movies.
It was just a friendship.
If it was just a friendship. Like, yeah. When they got together at the end, it just felt so tacked on. And, like, also gross because he's 400 years older than her. And, like, I just wasn't into it. Like, the whole start of the movie was, like, she's so independent. Like, she's a really intelligent woman ahead of her time in a man's world. And, like, she's succeeding to do all these things herself. She's, like, a doctor in Cambridge. She's the impetus that like drives this whole movie, and then in the end it's just like her and The Rock get together and it just felt really unnatural and I wasn't into it.
But to be fair, and I kind of agree with you, but to be fair, they do get together as equals. Like, she's not a love interest.
No, she's not. And she's teaching him how to drive at the end.
Exactly.
And, you know, they're doing all that, but like
they feel
felt,
they
why
really
do they have to be romantic? Like, why?
They really feel like equal billing. Whereas 20 years ago, like to take Indiana Jones as an example, the female billing is often the support. Even with what's her name in the first one. Karen,
what's her name in the first one? What are you talking about?
Raiders of the Lost Ark, who's kind of a similar mold, but she still feels like second fiddle.
Yeah, but that movie was called Indiana Jones, though.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
This movie's called Jungle Cruise.
But they really do feel like that. This could be Emily Blunt's movie, and The Rock is in it.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Vice
I mean,
versa.
She's in it more than him.
Yeah.
That was my like slight niggle at the end. I wish they hadn't got together. The ending? Other than that, yes, actually, I liked how her and him and Jack Whitehall and all kind of banded together. Jesse Plymouth as like the son of the Kaiser was just brilliant.
Yeah. I'm with you. I thought the ending felt strong. I was emotionally invested in them returning him back to life and his self-sacrifice.
Yeah, I liked all that stuff.
I quite liked all that. I think the problem is the middle part of the movie and all
lagged.
The connective tissue
but
to kind of get
like,
from A to B.
The whole thing was to get like... Dave had to like explain it to me as we're watching it again because I didn't actually understand. In the end, they were trying to get like these petals off a tree, right? But then
there's too many MacGuffins. There was a spearhead. The spearhead points to the location of the tree, which has the petals, which brings people back to life. It's just like,
also, I wanted to be Tomb Raider.
And then also there was all this other stuff, exposition drop, where it's like, but it only works at midnight on the fourth day of the sixth evening of the. It's just like
it was too much. And then it was like, okay, fine, you've done all the Tomb Raider stuff. They're cracking the code. She's like underwater. He's like blowing water into her mouth. That was all quite cool.
That's all pretty good.
Yeah, and then but then it's like they finally get the tree, and the tree blooms. And then the moon is like fading so fast that like they get one petal off the end. I was like, sorry, you did all this for one petal off a tree that you then just have to give the rock to bring him back to life. It felt quite unsatisfactory.
But that was the point that was leading up to her having to make a decision between everything she had wanted.
So they actually both sacrificed because she sacrificed her
everything desire she had been for knowledge. Leading to. Yeah.
But scientifically, how does this work, right? I'm no botanist, but like all the leaves are fading because the moon was fading. But then she plucked a leaf and then the moon went, but that leaf didn't die because she plucked it while the moon was still up. Surely that leaf should die.
They wither. Yeah, but if you leave a leaf on a tree, it will wither and die eventually because it stops being fed, which was accelerated by this tree.
Yeah, but it will wither but and die you in your hand. It,
but I think maybe the acceleration of decay was happening attached to the tree.
Couldn't she have just ripped...
So if you take it off, then it's going to just be a normal petal and will die.
Couldn't she have just ripped a tiny
normally.
Bit of the petal off? Like, why did she put the whole petal in his mouth?
I mean, fuck knows. I don't know why I'm trying to defend this movie from that I'm enjoying this pointless argument.
Yeah, anyway, I think, like, there's not much else to say about it. Like, it's very middle of the road. Like, the movies it wants to be... It does not hit the mark on a lot of them.
No.
Like, even like The Mummy, we're both big fans of. Like, I would watch The Mummy over this, I think.
Which The Rock was also in.
Was he?
Yeah, he's the Scorpion King. Maybe it's only the second one.
What was that other movie then that is...
Famously bad CGI because ILM were working on Star Wars or something. And then they phoned that one in.
But didn't you say there was another movie that he was in which was also a ride?
Oh yeah, Escape to Witch Mountain or something. Is that another Disney thing which he was in? Was that a ride?
But then we
or was
went
that
to
Space Mountain?
We then went to watch the trailer for that, for the laugh, and he had hair. I was like, I never remember The Rock having hair, like ever.
Yeah, me neither, but apparently he did. We can't, he's so clear, so happy we are now with our bald Rock these days. We can't imagine a time when he was a hairy Rock.
Anyway, do you know what? It's fine, but like, I really hope they don't make a sequel.
They will, yeah. Well, it'll all depend on the money,
the sequel
right?
Be-
and it's hard to know in these days because it'll be split between Disney Plus, Premier Access, or whatever it's called, plus any.
But it kind of would make sense because, like, the end of the movie, like, she's in Cambridge doing her PhD.
Yeah, it won't matter.
And he's a taxi driver in London.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the next?
He's a taxi driver in London.
Well, she's teaching him how to drive a black car, so I presumed he might become a black cab driver.
Wow, so you wrote the sequel in your head.
Yeah.
The movie didn't say he's a taxi driver now. It was just him learning to drive.
Well, his own...
So, do you know how hard it is to get your black cab license? That takes decades. This guy studies for decades. You think The Rock's just going to do it right after he learns to drive?
Or he'll either drive a black cab
with tourists.
He is
400 years old, mind you.
He'll drive a black cab with tourists in it, or he'll drive like an open-top bus with tourists in it. Because like that's the kind of closest thing to his job in the Amazon.
Oh, God, you're right. Yeah. That's exactly what they'll do.
Yeah, that's what I think it's going to be too.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I kind of do want to see that now.
I don't.
Because I quite enjoyed The Rock and his puns and his jungle
I enjoyed
cruise.
It. Like, oh, do you know one of the things that really bugged me is in it, Emily Blunt's character brings like a black and white, like rolly up video camera. And she starts filming and it's like silent film and it's black and white. And it's really cute, right? And I thought like, oh, this is lovely for young kids to watch because they probably won't even realize that's how video cameras used to work. And then I thought what they were going to do at the end was kind of like a little montage of like footage from that camera and like bring that whole plot together at the end. But no, it was just never went anywhere. So Disney, what were you thinking?
Sort that out.
So the next movie needs to be black and white found footage of him being a cab driver.
Black and white found footage. Oh my God, amazing. Imagine that. Imagine it's like the whole thing is like Blair Witch Project style, just with found silent footage.
And I did really enjoy all the gags about like... how Jack Whitehall had brought like all the clothes with him and was like changing for dinner, but like
I gotta say though, the you know, coming back to the, it felt like they were leaning into some gay stereotypes with his character a little bit.
I don't know, I think they were just trying to reverse them in that like she, the joke was that she was the one who had like no luggage as opposed to him, because that was what The Rock expected from like normal gender whatever at the time. Like,
I mean,
the fact that she was wearing pants, trousers, and he talked about that for the entire movie kind of shows the extent of how they were going to address gender issues in this movie, right?
Yeah, true.
Her name was Pants because she wore pants and his name was Skippy because he was the skipper, and that seemed to be like the movie really thought that was a gag. Like, they carried that on for the entire movie.
Some of the gags didn't really land.
I really liked, actually, my favourite scene, and when I thought the movie was going to be way better than it ended up being, was, you know, the scene when the scene where she, at the beginning, is, like, stealing the necklace thing, and Jesse Plymouth's in the room, and she's all Indiana Jones, like, going across bookcases and, like, a ladder.
That was fun.
That was, like, actually the peak of the movie for me. Like, once they got to the Amazon, it went downhill.
Once they got to the actual Jungle Cruise, the movie The Jungle Cruise kind of lost you.
Could we not? And I thought Jack Whitehall was really good at the beginning when he's reading out like the fake speech to like divert them. Like I thought Jack Whitehall and Emily Blunt had good chemistry together as brother and sister.
Yes, and yeah. She had good chemistry with Dwayne Johnson. And actually Dwayne Johnson and Jack Whitehall had some sweet moments as well. I quite liked the scene where he sort of explains why he was ostracized from society.
Yeah.
There's actually some sweet moments in this.
And also, of course, we have to end on this note. The Rock is able to wrestle a tiger.
Oh God, yeah, that was cool. I liked the whole idea that his character was just deceiving them all the time.
Yeah, that was fun. And that, like all the Amazons, he like had actually paid them to dress up with war paint.
Yeah,
and,
even
like,
though I saw that one coming. They signposted that one. But I'm still floored by the immortal thing. And it was like the clues were there. I just did not
see it. It's like you're writing a BuzzFeed headline. You're like, what happened next will shock you. Turned out The Rock was dead all along. Anyway, right, we gotta go. We've talked for too long about this mediocre movie.
And it really is mediocre. I can't believe how much we wrung from this. All right, thanks for listening. If you want to chat to us about any Jungle Cruises, we are at The Cinemile on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or you can email us thecinemile@gmail.com. And hey, leave us a nice review if you get a minute.
Yeah, over you. If you're listening to this, this issue probably doesn't apply to you, but because we kind of were doing a lot less episodes during the pandemic, a load of people have told us that we've like dropped out of their podcast feeds because of however the algorithm works. So if you're listening to this but you're not in your podcast feed, resubscribe in your podcast feed. There you go. There's your technical message. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Frank, get it.
Hold on.
Come on.
I got it.
Frank.
I don't got it.
No. For goodness sake, just leave me alone. That was a disaster.
It didn't go the way I planned.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Jessie Cruikshank, and I've always been told I have a face for podcasting. So I launched a podcast. It's called Phone a Friend because each week I'll break down the biggest stories in pop culture. But when I have questions, I get to phone a friend. I'll phone a royal watcher to find out why Prince Harry is acting like a real housewife. I'll phone a tween to please explain Euphoria. And maybe I'll even phone a Backstreet Boy to find out if I still have a chance. I don't? Okay. New episodes drop every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.